Turn to Ephesians chapter 4 as we would begin this morning. So what's going to help us on this journey forward, whether it be with our church or whether it be individually in our personal growth? I believe that we cannot move forward unless we are passionate about our walk with the Lord. You know that phrase, walk with the Lord. I remember growing up, I used to hear that phrase a lot. How's your walk with the Lord? People would even ask me that as a growing up. How's your walk with the Lord? That phrase is not like without biblical reference. And my intention is this evening to explore that phrase throughout the scripture. The idea of walking is used in scripture just that way, as, you know, putting one foot in front of the other. The disciples walked with Jesus along the shore of the Galilee, and so the scriptures use it that way in literal walking. But more times than not, over 200 times, believe it or not, that phrase walking has not a literal sense, but a spiritual significance. So it's taken more, metaphorically, to walk. So how is our walk with the Lord? If we are not walking with the Lord, then as Christians, we obviously then are out of sorts with the direction that he is going. Because walking presupposes a direction. And even the scripture says, can two walk together except they be agreed or except they be going in the same direction, is the idea. I mean, when my father-in-law and my mother-in-law take walks, which they take walks often, my father-in-law doesn't go one way and my mother-in-law go the other way. Maybe they've done that in the past, I don't know. But every time I see them walking, they walk together because they're going ahead, they're heading in the same direction. Now, sometimes one may go a little farther than the other one and walk back at a different speed, different time. But if you're going to walk together with somebody, you can't do that unless you're headed in the same direction. So if we're not headed in the same direction with the Lord, then we're in trouble because the Lord has a purpose for our lives and a direction for us to go, and he wants us to go with him. And if we're not willing to go with him, then we're going to go it alone. And we're going to run into a lot of difficulties alone. Trust me. I've been there. And we don't want to go it alone. We want to go with him. So if we're going to see any progress in this year, in our 2019, we're going to have to walk with the Lord. This morning I want to sort of couch my comments and our looking at scripture just to the book of Ephesians as Paul addresses the Ephesians, and he uses this phrase walking and this concept walking throughout the book. 7 times he uses it. Every time he's using it in a spiritual sense, never in a physical sense of walking. And as we look at that, I want us to be challenged concerning our walk with the Lord. And what is it that Paul is trying to encourage these Ephesians toward in their walk with him? So if you're in Ephesians chapter 4, let's read just write down just a few verses here, 4 verses 1 through 3. We're kind of right in the middle of what Paul was discussing with the Ephesians, and we're going to go back and go forward from this point. But I think this is a central spot here for us to begin because of what Paul says here. Verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So first of all, our walk should be consistent with who we are. Our walk should be consistent with who we are. So Paul is saying here, walk worthy of the vocation, of the calling. Really, the word vocation there is the noun form of the verb form that's used at the end of that verse. Walk worthy of the calling wherewith you're called. And maybe because they didn't want to be too redundant, they just use this word, this concept of vocation. The calling of God, the call of God upon a person's life. The direction, the will that God has, and the choices that person makes in order to reflect God. The vocation, the calling wherewith we are called. How do we walk in a manner worthy of what God has done for us? So Paul is beseeching them. I mean, that's strong language that he's using here. I'm beseeching you. He couches himself as the prisoner of the Lord, right? He feels an obligation under the Lord and to the Lord. That's why he couches it that way. And he's encouraging them that their walk would be worthy of what God has called them to. What has God called us to? He goes on to talk about what he's called us to. One thing that he's called us to, and he begins the chapter 4 with this, and he's really referring to them as a unit, and that is the unity that must be maintained in chapter 4. The unity. You go a little further, and he talks about the maturity that needs to take place in chapter 4. He talks about that maturity can't happen except we make a definite break. And so he contrasts this putting off and putting on things in chapter 4. That we put off these things and we put on these things. And then toward the end, he begins to really encourage them by using strong words like, let this be true for you. And so he says, don't steal. Him that stole, let him steal no more. Don't be angry. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give the opportunity for the devil to have a foothold in your life. Watch your speech. Watch what you say. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. And would entail, as he gets down to verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, and that with all malice. Include malice with that, all of it. And then we need to be kind one to another. So is our relationships. And you can see how he begins with unity and he ends with what's going to maintain that unity. He begins with unity, he goes to maturity, he goes to what we need to put off and put on, and then he says, you know what? We need a relationship with each other, strong. And so he ends being kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So first of all, our walk should be consistent with who we are. Turn over just one page, perhaps, maybe it's on the same page for you in your Bible, to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, where Paul uses this same concept again. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. He says, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Again, our walk should be consistent with who we are. This is a good transition verse because of what the Apostle Paul is couching this command with. He said we were sometimes darkness. Now notice he doesn't say we were sometimes in the darkness. He says we were sometimes darkness. I mean, that was our character It wasn't so much that we were in the darkness, but that the darkness, as one man put it, was in us. And now he says, and now ye are light in the Lord. Not that ye are enlightened, that's true, but that you, by your very nature, are light. Even as the Lord said that we are to be the lights of the world and not to hide that light, not to put it under a bushel, not to put it in a place where it can't be seen in the corner of a house, but it needs to be put in a prominent place where it can give light to all. And we need to be that light. So we need to be walking consistently with who we are, our character. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you are light. So let the light so shine. Now, obviously, I mean, the metaphor, I mean, we are kind of reflections of the light. There's a source to that light. Certainly, it's the Lord. He's the light of the world. So we can, you know, mix the metaphor a little bit here. The Lord does that. But we are light. It is the very nature that we have that we are Christians and we are light. So be consistent. Let our walk be consistent with who we are. There's kind of, you know, the contrast there, you know, is light and darkness. I mean, that's quite the contrast. You cannot have darkness where there is light. I mean, there's a shade maybe of darkness, but complete utter darkness is dispelled with any little bit of light. Even the farthest light, the smallest light. You know how that small, the most important light sometimes is that night light in the hallway, right? I don't know what your house is set up like, but we don't have many hallways in where we live. But we have a night light typically that we put on in the kitchen. And I don't know how many times with that little bit of light that I have not tripped over the dog or the cat that was laying there on the rug or the toy that the cat drug in and laid there on the rug, or maybe sometimes an animal that the cat drug in and laid there on the rug. I've not tripped on that because there was that little bit of light. I've been able to see where I was going because of that light. So as the songwriter often said, brighten the corner where you are. Where are you? Are you being the light that you are? Are you walking with the Lord, and is it consistent with who you are? Is it consistent with the fact that you are light? Are you walking that way? Secondly, our walk should be different from those, or should be different from who we were and from those lost around us. Turn back to the beginning of Ephesians, toward the beginning, to Ephesians chapter 2. Our walk should be different from who we were and also from the lost around us. And again, that concept, a good transition verse is that 5:8, because it talks about us being sometimes darkness. But notice how Paul talks about it here in chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, and that's all in italics, right? So that means that word is not really there, but they're putting it there because it doesn't show up for a long time. All right? So they put it up there. It doesn't show up till verse 5. All right? But he's putting it up there. They're putting it up there for us to make sure that we understand the contrast that the Apostle Paul is making here. And you hath he quickened. Who? Who were dead in trespasses and sin. He's made alive. He's made us alive. We were dead in trespasses and sin, but now we're alive. Let's continue. Where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation, our lifestyle, in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, there it is, the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. You can kind of see how he just kind of adds that. And hath raised up raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the excellent riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So the Apostle Paul is trying to help us to understand, trying to help the Ephesians to understand, and hence us, that we once were in a condition of deadness. And maybe this morning, there may be somebody among us that's still in that condition of deadness. As many times as you've heard the scripture, as many times as you've heard the gospel being presented, you still are dead in your trespasses and sins. There's nothing that really is alive toward God. No desire there to serve him, to live for him, to walk with him, because there's a deadness about your life. And there's never been a quickening. There's never been something that has made you alive. That needs to happen. Else, everything that we say here, it's not going to happen. It's useless. Your walk with God will not begin until there's a quickening and you're made alive and become a believer. So our walk should be different from those from who we were, once were, and also from the loss around us. Look, notice what he says in Ephesians. I mean, even there, it talks about us as others, that we wouldn't have this nature of the children of wrath, even as others. But notice what he says over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, where he uses this phraseology again about walking. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. And then he talks about that putting on and putting off. So our walk should be different from those that are around us. We are living in the midst. I mean, we can't say it any other way. As the scripture says, a crooked and perverse generation. And it's getting more perverse all the while. And so the more perverse and crooked it gets, the straighter we look if we're going to walk as children of light. If we're going to walk as Christians, a walk with God is going to look a much different than a walk of an unbeliever. The way they conduct their lives, what they're all about, the lasciviousness, the uncleanness, the greediness, that should not characterize us. There is an emptiness about their thinking. That's what he's saying there. They walk in the vanity of their mind. Again, this light and darkness has come into play because it says having the understanding darkened. Their understanding, their realization about reality. They just can't grasp reality. Matter of fact, that's why many of them live in a non-realistic world, right? Even more so today with computer programs. This is an unrealistic world that people live in all the time. If they're not at their job, and some of them, their job is living in an unrealistic world. But if they're not at their job, they're home living in a fantasy. They're watching movies living in a fantasy. I'm not saying movies are wrong. But I'm saying an overabundance of living that way is certainly not right for the believer. We have so much time. And some of us don't know how much time we have. None of us know how much time we have, but some of us may have shorter amount of time than others do. What are we doing with the time? And you know, we didn't go to that passage yet. Or we went there, but we didn't go far enough. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 5 again. Oh, we're going to go here. I'm sorry. There's another time in Ephesians 5 where the Lord, where Paul encourages us in our walk. Notice what he says. Let's go ahead and go there. This is my last point, but I'm not done yet. All right. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And then he says, redeeming the time, buying back opportunities, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And then he goes into the fact that we need to be filled with the Spirit. How in the world are we going to accomplish this walk with God? It really is here. He talks about being filled with the Spirit. But if you look back at the end of chapter 3, Paul prays a prayer for the Ephesians. This is sort of like the power pack of what he is saying in his whole book. It's sort of it's like the apex of Ephesians, I think. Notice what he says. This prayer that he prays, he said, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love might be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I mean, you could just see that he has sort of like gone into this power pack mode of prayer. And he's saying, Ephesians, you have got to pray this way, or you won't be able to walk this way. If your prayer is not this way, a dependence upon the Spirit of God, a complete giving of yourselves, allowing Christ to have full access. We've talked about that word in the past. To dwell just doesn't mean to live in a house somewhere, but full access. Are we giving Christ full access in our lives? Are we just playing the game? Is this like a game that we're playing, that we give him a little bit, we kind of like take care of our responsibilities, we show up here and there at times where we need to be at church, and we live our life the rest of the way, just the way we want to play, just how we want to do it? Or is it all out for God, walking worthy? Because if it's not, then we're not going to accomplish anything, folks. We're not going to be effective in our lives. Our lives will be meaningless, really, when it comes down to it. There will be no point in it, because we're continuing to walk just like we used to walk before we were light. But our nature has changed. If you've been born again, that's what it takes. It takes a change of nature that only God can do. And he does it. This is how he does it. Through his Spirit, his Son, and it's all to his glory. God the Father's glory, that's what he says there. It's not the power that, it's not us. We're not doing the work. We're relying on him to do the work in our lives, and in our church too. I mean, he's talking to these believers as a church and individuals also. So, number one, was our walk consistent with who we are? Number two, is our walk different from those around us and those that, and the walk that we used to have? What we just talked about was that our walk should then also demonstrate, it should demonstrate a diligentness to avoid sin. That's why he's talking there. See that ye walk circumspectly. That has the idea of diligence about it. That we give diligence to do what? To avoid sin. And to use wisely the opportunities that God gives us. So our walk should demonstrate a diligentness to avoid sin and to walk wisely with our opportunities. Going back to our third point, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now don't get the cart before the horse. Don't think that walking in good works is going to get you a relationship with God. That's the cart before the horse. A reconciliation, a new birth has to happen for our nature to change before then we can produce these good works. Now, I'm not saying you can't do anything good, but I'm saying the things that we do that are good, if we're trying to gain favor with God, won't be accepted until the nature is changed and we are his children. Now, we can put an emphasis on what we do, the good things that we do, the things that are beneficial in life, we put an emphasis on those because we're his workmanship. He's created us to do that. This is what we were made for, to accomplish good works for God. Not to accomplish good works to get to heaven, to accomplish good works to please our Father. So we need to walk in them. We need to walk in those good works and allow that to be a display to God, a thanksgiving to God for all he's done for us because of the creation that he has made us. And then fourthly, our walk should develop from an attitude of love. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. He encourages them, be therefore followers of God. The word there means to be an imitator. Be an imitator of God as dear children. We belong to him. That's the idea. And do this, walk in love. That's hard. That's not easy. Walk in love. That doesn't mean you have a good feeling about everybody around you. That's not what he's saying. But what is the idea of love here? He couches it with what Christ did to show his love for us. As Christ hath also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And then he goes into verse 3. Talking about the sin that we need to continue to avoid. If we're going to love like Christ loves, then we're going to make sacrifices. And we're also going to put away sin. The nature of our living will be sacrificial to meet the needs of a desired object. That's the concept of love, right? I'm sacrificing to meet the needs of a desired object. That's what Christ did. We were the desired object. He loved us. He sacrificed himself on our behalf to appease God's wrath, a sweet-smelling savor, against our sin. If you've never done that, God's wrath is poised against you in 2019 or even at the end of 2018. I don't know. I'm not a prophet. But God, you could stand before him. God could call your number, as it were. You would stand before him. And it's like one man said as I was reading sermons about walking with God, he had this illustration where he said, you know, it's not like you can like be at the bus station ready to get on the bus, and then there's no more room on the bus, and so the driver closes the door. You're either on the bus or you're not on the bus. That's what he said. You're either in the bus. You're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. You're not partially there. And it's not going to help that you've been at the bus station this whole time, but never got on the bus. It's not going to help that you've even read your Bible hundreds of times if you're not on the bus. Do you know that you have a relationship with God through Christ? You've received Him as your Savior. If you've not done that, it doesn't matter how close you are to the bus. You're not on it. You need to be on it. The only way is to be on it. But Christians, we should develop our walk with this attitude that he lists here. The primary attitude that we must have is love. Love for each other, love for God. And that's tantamount. I mean, that's what the Lord said were the two greatest commandments. Love your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. And how, I mean, that's hard to even think about. Let alone live up to. All my heart, mind, strength. And the second is like to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Can you do that? Can you love God supremely? Can you love Him? Can you love Him that way? If you can't, there's something blocking that. And it's what you haven't done with these other walks. You haven't put away and put on. You haven't put off, put on. You haven't put away this lying. Sin is that which is encumbrancing, is hampering your ability to walk with your God. So that needs to be taken care of too. Unconfessed sin will stop that fellowship. It will stop because how can you walk with God who is completely holy and you're unholy? You know how it is. You've just offended somebody, or somebody's offended you, and you've got an issue between you and that person. Even if it's a family member. Now, sometimes time can kind of deal with that, and you kind of like get along and start talking again. But you don't want to be in the same room with them, do you? You want to get out of the house. I mean, that's not the way to handle it. Don't get me wrong here. Don't do it that way. That's not the right way to handle it. But sometimes that's the way we end up handling it, don't we? We just want to get away from that person. Well, if you're at odds with God, you're not walking with Him. You want to get away from Him. You want to get as far away from Him as you can. And that's why people go off, quote unquote, the deep end sometimes, right? Because of sin in their life. And it's unconfessed and maybe even secret. And been held secret for years. And they go off the deep end. Well, they didn't go off the deep end. They were headed that way a long time before they went off the deep end. It was because their walk wasn't consistent with who they are. So I challenge us for 2019 that we would walk with God. As a church, that we would walk with God. As individuals, that we would walk with God. And that these things, you can go back through these seven times, Paul, and think about these things. Are they true in our lives? I trust that it will be a challenge to us. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement, even in Sunday school, of a relationship with your word. Even this year in 2019, that we would be consistent in that, in our reading and studying of your word. Help us, Lord, to learn to walk to walk with you. And that these things will be true in our lives, even as Paul challenged the Ephesians. That we could be useful. And even as a church, that we would be able to reach the community that we are in. As they see us as lights, shining forth the glorious gospel of Christ. May it penetrate. Help us, Lord, not to dim those lights. Challenge us, Lord. Allow us to be committed to a consistent walk with you. We ask these things in your name.